It is good to see all you folks. With the marathon, I thought we would have a few people canceling out and staying home, which is understandable if you're blocked out, but good to see you all coming on out. Just want to say something real quick. We want to do the communion back with passing the trays, and I think we ought to do it the first Sunday of March. That's just a couple of weeks away. Is everybody okay with that? We will also have the packets for those that don't want to do the tray as it's passed along. And maybe just experimenting during the month of March. This is also for a show of hands. Be nice to see if we could all sit in the middle section, which we're filling out pretty good. That's nice. Would that be okay? Sit over here in the middle section. Maybe get the young people sitting on the front so it's easy for them to get out and encourage people. Because to pass the trays with just a couple of people involved would be easier. So let me know what you think about that, if you would. Our text today is found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. It's a following along of the Beatitudes. Last week I said the Beatitude reminded me of what? Pinto beans, remember? You know, because when you get pinto beans and spread them out on the table, you find those little rocks to get rid of, because who wants to eat a nice, wonderful bowl full of pinto beans and then crunch down on a rock or something? That wouldn't be any good. So, you know, you have to do that. And so the topic, of course, the Beatitude, was purity of heart. And we talked about that last week, and that's the pinto beans idea. Aren't any impurities involved? Purity of the heart. And we, all of us, committed ourselves as Christians to have that pure heart. And so that's where we're at. Today now, we're on another one. Does it remind us of pinto beans? It reminds me of peas. P-E-A-S, peas. Not beans, but peas. Mind your P's and Q's. No. Peas, the vegetable peas. When I was younger, and I haven't seen it in a long time, there used to be a bumper sticker that said, "Pray for world peace." You guys remember that? Pray for world peace, which is a great little bumper sticker and a good notion. But then somebody came along and wanted to be humorous, and they said, they put a bumper sticker out that said, you remember this one? "Pray for world peas." Take some peas and whirl them up, and that sounds kind of no good, yucky to me. But that's just why I say world peas, because the scripture here is, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." That's our text. Some translations, by the way, say, "For they will be called sons of God." Children of God works as well. Sons or daughters, children of God is what we will be. I think this is the culmination of all of the Beatitudes. It begins with, "And we began with poor in spirit," goes to mourning, and to meekness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being merciful, being pure in heart. And now finally, number 7 of these Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who are called," or who are, "the peacemakers," is our text. But thinking of world peace again and world peace, I want to say what this text does not mean is, "Blessed are those who are for world peace." This isn't talking about world peace. Surely God wants world peace, and surely God's people should want and work toward and pray about world peace. Amen on that, shouldn't we? Yeah, we should be, but that's not what Jesus is talking about here. John Lennon said, "All we are saying is give peace a chance." That was during that time with the Vietnam War and all of that sort of stuff. There was the flower power going on. I remember girls having flowers painted on their cheeks and stuff, you know, and there was all kinds of stuff. We called people like that peaceniks. they were all for peace and flowers. And the old saying that when I was a teenager, we used to say to each other, you know, when we'd do the peace sign, would be peace, love, and Jimi Hendrix, you know. That was world peace that we were all about at that time. And but that's not what Jesus is about here. That is not what he means here. Again, it's a good thing. But that's not what he means. He doesn't say blessed are those who are peaceniks or peacemakers or people of the flower power generation. He's not saying that. Did you know, and I found this out this week, did not know it myself, that of the last 3,421 years, Will and Ariel Durant did the research on this, and they had have a little book called Lessons on History. But of the last 3,421 years, only 268 of those years, there were no wars. Now, there were no wars that people knew about, but there may have been little wars going on in some smaller countries where, you know, we didn't know. You know, 3,000 years is a long time to cover it all. So there may have been, but again, that's not what it's all about. The whole world and world peace. But let me tell you this, and I think you would all agree with this. If the whole world were living these Beatitudes, the whole world, would there not be world peace? Yeah. I mean, there'd be some skirmishes here and there, you know. Because as a church, we have these Beatitudes among us, and we know to live these things. And so the whole church were living all of these Beatitudes, there would be peace in all the churches. But there's not, unfortunately. But there is. I mean, it is true that these Beatitudes cause these things to happen for all of us, which may be why this blessed are the peacemakers comes number seven. Seven is kind of a special number with God. We know that. Seven means perfect, perfection, spiritual perfection, those sorts of things. And so this is a great one to be a number seven of our whole list. But these Beatitudes for all of us, it's not just being peacemakers that makes you cool. It's being all of these things together. It's a package plan. We've been studying them one by one, but it is a package plan. You want all of these in your life. Now, you don't want to start with the first one and wait until you got that one mastered before you move down to the other ones. At the same time that you are to be poor in spirit, coming before the God, for the Lord, and saying, I can't save myself. I am imperfect. I am a sinner, God. Save me a sinner. That's what poor in spirit means. Or like Jesus mourning over the people that he looked at and realizing the lostness of the world, and it just went to his heart. And that's us, that we should be people who mourn. Like Lot, the Bible says his righteous soul was vexed, troubled, when he saw the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the mourning here we're talking about. Doesn't mean God doesn't also comfort us in our mourning on personal things. And so surely that's involved in here. But it's the idea of becoming spiritually focused and seeing the lostness of the world and feeling it. Also being meek and then hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We ought not leave that one out. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. By the way, your assignment, just with my Bible class, your assignment this week is to read Psalm 119. Would you do that for me? Psalm 119. This is just a short little psalm. It'd be easy to read, a couple of minutes. Some of you guys open your eyes real wide. It's a long one, but do read Psalm 119. But then also being merciful and, of course, pure in heart. Those aren't things that are to be done step by step. They're things to be just done all together. That's living the Christian life. And finally, we get to this one on the peacemaker. And again, it's not world peace that we're all about, that Jesus is all about. We Christians should pray for world peace. You know, flower power kind of stuff. we should support peace efforts that are going on. And right now we know of the things that are going on that are we need to be praying about. But it's not that. Well, maybe it's this. Maybe what he means is inner peace, you know, and peace within our hearts. Blessed are those, Jesus would have said, who have inner peace. Again, God, does he not give us inner peace? And so surely that's involved to some extent in this, but that's not really what he's saying. He's not saying blessed are those who have inner peace. Again, he wants us to have that. We are made to be people who have indeed inner peace. That's how God created us. We need that, to have that inner peace. Again, that's not what he meant. Although it happens, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, familiar passage for most of you. Paul writes, I've told you these things, Paul writing to the Philippians, I have told you these things that you may have peace. I'm sorry, this is Jesus in John 16. I'm misreading, forgive me. It didn't sound right when I started it. I thought, that's not Philippians. But Jesus said, I have told you these things that you may have peace. He's talking inner peace here. In this world, you have trouble. There goes the world peace question. In this world, you will have trouble. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. Have inner peace. You may be troubled by the trouble in the world, but have peace, because I have given you peace, and the things that I've taught you are peace. Paul said, get back to Paul, Philippians 4:7, when we have anxieties, what are we supposed to do? Remember, cast all your cares on him. All the troubles that you have, and you will have the peace that passes understanding. What's that? Inner peace. So we are to have inner peace. We ought to be concerned about all the trouble and the strife that's going on in the world. But even Jesus said, there's going to always be wars and wars and rumors of wars. And so that's not it. It's also really not inner peace, although we have it and God gives it to us through his son, Jesus Christ. But that's not, again, what Jesus meant. Not what he meant. Here's another thing that it might be. And this one comes closest, I think. Here it is. That we should live peacefully. Our living among people should be peaceful. Should we not be peaceful neighbors? Oh, yeah. Don't play the drum set at 3 a.m. in your garage, all right? Peace, all right? Do not cause turmoil in your neighborhood or in your family. Don't do that. Or in your church. Don't do that. Sometimes we cause trouble. We hear trouble. Paul writes about backbiters and that sorts of thing. Gossipers, things like that. We ought to live peacefully with one another. And Paul wrote in Romans 12:18, if it is possible, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So there's a living at peace text. So this is pretty close. Living at peace with everybody else. As much as you can do it, he's saying. Understanding that sometimes it doesn't work both ways. There could be some turmoil coming from someone and you want to respond in a meekness and peacefulness toward them, and it may not work out. But continue to live at peace with all people. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 17 is another text that talks about the unbelieving spouse who might choose to leave the marriage. And the Apostle Paul says that you're actually not bound. We can talk about that some other time, divorce and remarriage. But Paul is telling a Christian, if your unbelieving spouse chooses to leave the marriage, you are not bound under any circumstance. So he says in 1 Corinthians 7:15, because God has called us to peace. And so living in peace, God has called us to that, to living, having that peace with other people. And then the Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and says, you need to have it as your ambition to live a quiet life. Translate that to live a peaceful life, to live peacefully, to live a quiet life. Mind your own business. He doesn't mean don't stick your nose in somebody else's business, although that's good advice. Tend to your own business. Take care of your business. And work with your hands. And when you do that, he says, you may win the respect of outsiders. And in the meantime, you'll also not be dependent on anyone. And so there's some good advice. It's just real practical. It's just work your way through this life. Earn your own living. And in that sense, you're living a quiet life. So maybe that's what angels meant also whenever they told the shepherds peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Maybe that's what they meant. But I still don't think we've hit it fully. I don't think that's fully what Jesus meant. I think it's part of it to live peacefully. But the text says, and you've caught it already. I know you're thinking ahead of me. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's actually in the word. The typical word for peace in the Greek is Irene, where we get a woman's name, Irene. Nobody in here named Irene. It's a good name to have, you know. Irene is the Greek for peace, but it adds this idea on the end, poio, and that word means to have, to make, to create. So we are to be people who are creators of or makers of peace. We cause peace to happen. And so some of these things we've talked about can definitely be involved. But again, I think there's something more. And this is just for you to think about. I want you to think about this. I want to read some scriptures and then hand the lesson over to you for you to think about. This seventh beatitude seems to kind of everything culminates onto this one. And that we, as God's people, are to have all these characteristics within us. Notice these are all within us. Those six. Poor in spirit. Mourning, meek, hungering and thirsting, showing mercy, being pure in heart. They're all starting within and reaches out, but they're to be housed within the heart. But this last one is more of an active thing. Notice that, peacemakers. That's the key word, is the makers part of this whole thing. And so I think this has to do with being peacemakers. And Proverbs 12 and 20 kind of imitates, or perhaps Jesus borrowed, inspired, of course, borrowed, Proverbs 12 and 20, which says, those who promote peace have joy. To promote peace, to be people who are promoting peace. And again, that can apply in lots of ways, helping people to get along with each other, getting involved in causes that cause peace to take place politically, those sorts of things. But here's the verses I want you to hear, and I think give us some insight. Maybe I want you to think about this. I may be wrong, but listen to these. Acts 10 and 36, Stephen's talking to the Jews. He's had a long sermon already to this point, and he talks to the Jews, and he says, you know the message that God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. See, that reminds me again of the angels that said peace on earth and goodwill toward men. The coming of Jesus Christ was for the cause of our peace, peace on earth. I don't think it meant world peace, because that didn't happen. Again, if everybody had the Beatitudes, we would have world peace. So maybe that's what he meant, although it didn't happen. And he didn't say it was going to happen. He just said it was for that. Anyway. But then he says in 10:43, so a few verses down, he said, all the prophets testify about him, that's Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. The good news of peace through Jesus Christ is that if you believe in him, you are forgiven of sin and you have peace with God. You're no longer his enemy, and God is no longer directing his wrath towards you, but he's forgiven all of your sins, and you are one of his children. Here's another text, Colossians 1, 19 and 20, short little thing. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that is Jesus, and through him to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or things on heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now, as Christians, could not making peace be bringing people to Christ? Could it not be that? Making peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Each person's life is in converting to Christ, in turning to God, is making peace with God. And anytime a believer, this is just for you to think about, anytime a believer takes someone that is an unbeliever and brings them to Christ, would you not be a peacemaker? He would. Blessed are the peacemakers. Ultimate thing, number 7. You've turned from what you have become in the Beatitudes to now looking out to other people and realizing their life, whether they know it or not, is in turmoil before God. They are under the wrath of God. And the only way they can be out from under that wrath is to make peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you help that, then you are a peacemaker. Happy, he says, you are, you know, when you do this. That's why the proverb again, those who promote peace, insert in each person's life by bringing them to Christ, gives joy to that person, but has joy to ours. So we promote peace and we have joy through all that. Now I've got to read a couple of scriptures that are longer. It's only 19 minutes after, so you got 11 minutes, okay? And this won't take that long, but I just want you to know that. To me, this sometimes when you study the Bible, and you know this is true, it makes your eyes water. You know, you get choked up. The Bible can choke you up. Read the Bible. By the way, your assignment again is to read what? Psalm 119. So I hope you do it. My Bible class all failed to a man, I think. I asked him, am I right? Yeah. I'm going to ask for a show of hands. No, I won't. But 2 Corinthians, I'd like to read chapter 5, verse 11. Through 6:2. It's not that long, but it's long enough. So listen to these words with a thought for you to think about this, with the thought that perhaps what Jesus means is what Paul himself is talking about when he talks about himself. And if I apply myself then to take on the same kind of responsibility that Paul does, then I will be what Paul is. So here's Paul writing about himself. He uses the word we, but he's talking about himself. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it's for God. If we are in our righteousness, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, and now is the day of salvation. That's Paul. Is he not a good writer? And does he not have the heart of a peacemaker in making peace, helping others to make peace with God through Jesus Christ? That's what the word reconciled means, to make them friends again. You know, reconcile a couple of people at work, you know, that are at odds with one another. You're a peacemaker when you do that. And so Paul is saying, we do that and we are peacemakers. He's saying of himself, I am a peacemaker. I'm an ambassador to God, and so are we. We are ambassadors to God. This is, again, the highest beatitude. After all of the things that we have become that make us happy, he says, this one makes us the happiest. And it's the ironic thing is that it makes us, when we talk about, say, soul winning, oh, we go, oh, man, a preacher's going to preach about soul living again. That isn't a good way to look at it. If this were true, if that's what Paul's talking about here in this text. And I want you to just jot down, because I don't want to take the time to read it. I wish I would, but because it's pretty powerful too. But it has to do with brothers and sisters in Christ becoming one when they have all their sins taken away. It doesn't matter where they're Jewish. This is Ephesians 2 now. Jewish or Gentile, they become one in Christ Jesus. And so in that sense, he says, breaking down barriers, you're making of one people who are separate. We can apply this to people who from different backgrounds, different countries, different ethnic backgrounds, you know, whatever, that when they come to Christ, all we are, there's neither male nor female, bond nor free in Jesus Christ. We are all one in Christ Jesus. So our peace has been made. So even that is a peacemaker aspect, I think, of this text. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Chew on that one, if you would, for a while. Sure enough, world peace is a good thing. Inner peace is surely intended here. Living peacefully is involved. But we're peacemakers in the sense that in this world we do what we can to our family members and friends and people that ask us. We try to turn them to God, and doing so, help them to make peace with God. And so in that sense, we are peacemakers. Proverbs 12:20 now in the Message, and this is it. This is it for you. It's the Message, so it's different than the NIV, but it's a good one. You know, I put it in here on purpose. Peace planning brings joy to the planter. Peace planting. That means for the church here, we're worried about perhaps, God forbid, having to close our doors. But if we could just catch this inspiration from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount to become peacemakers, we become people who are peace planners, and it brings joy to us as we plan, as we plan. How can we reach out? Each one of us individually can think, there are people in my family, there are people I know, my best friends, people that I run around with. I could talk to them about God and talk to them about the peace that they get through God, you know. And in that sense, I can be a peacemaker. And that's supposed to bring me joy, the text says. And I believe it will. Have you ever watched anyone come to Christ because of what you've done? It is a good feeling. And so I think that's really what he's saying. Now, you can, of course, disagree. It's all right. There's no proof for it, but I firmly believe it. And I think that we should be peacemakers in that sense. Let's close for a word of prayer, and then we'll sing this song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus and these Beatitudes, and we pray, Father, you help us to really contemplate being a peacemaker. Help us, Lord, to realize instead of being afraid of it, that there's actually joy there as we see someone come to Christ. Help us, all of us, Lord, to begin thinking more about looking outward like Paul and not seeing people in the flesh anymore, but seeing them as lost souls who, whether they show it or not, it can be a little cocky in their attitudes. But that's just really a kind of cover to get away with things. But we know, Father, that deep down in that they're really empty. And so help us to be peacemakers, bring them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.